Well, first of all, thank you, Farouk, for taking the time out of your very busy schedule. I know you have very, very full days, and you're seeing patients from the morning until late in the evening. And then when you're not seeing patients, you're traveling around the world sharing your incredible knowledge and wisdom of homeopathy. So we very much appreciate you joining us. And let me just give you a quick introduction, Farouk. Farouk is, on top of being one of the greatest homeopaths in the world, an excellent homeopathic teacher and educator, probably the person who understands and knows the repertory better than anyone on the planet today, an amazingly vast knowledge of materia medica, really somebody who understands all facets of homeopathic philosophy and practice, really somebody we can call a master practitioner, and somebody who I consider to be a very dear friend. I first met Farouk in Mumbai, India, a number of years ago. I was presenting some cases, and there were a group of individuals in the corner of the room who knew the remedy every time I presented a case, and they turned out to be Farouk's students. And this really impressed me because I realized that not only was Farouk a great practitioner in his own right, but he had the capability, the capacity of imparting his knowledge to others so that they could be proficient practitioners in their own right. Farouk is the author of maybe 40 or 50 different books in homeopathy now. As I said earlier, he travels around the world teaching and sharing his wisdom. He's also one of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life. My whole staff at Whole Health Now absolutely loves and adores him. He's full of humility, full of humbleness, and he is completely dedicated to the servicing of his patients. The people in India around him love him. He is a wonderful man on all levels and a brilliant and masterful practitioner. So, Farouk, with that introduction, welcome to the call.
Thank you, Kim, for all the good words.
Well, I mean them from the most sincere, deepest place in my heart. So, Farouk, on today's call, we're going to talk a little bit about the snake remedies in general and a little bit about your new book on the snake remedies. Why don't we start specifically on the book? What influenced you to write a book specifically on the snake remedies?
So this all started when I was in Brazil in the year 1987 to attend the Liga Congress. And after finishing my paper presentation in Liga Congress that was on a snake remedy, I was introduced to the Instituto Butananan in Sao Paulo. And this Instituto Butananan is a world famous institute. It is Brazilian Biomedical Research Center for the study of herpetology, that is the study of snake venoms. And when I visited this particular institute, I came to understand quite a lot of serpents, you know, the one which were described in our homeopathic materia medica. I came to know about their lifestyle. I came to know about their anatomy, their physiology, the effect of the poisonous venoms, their habitat. And this was the first rather stimulation in my life where I took a lot of interest in serpents, and that's how I started making my research. That's how I started making my small notes, and that's how it all began.
And Farouk, how many years did it take you to actually write this book, and what kind of research did you have to do to be able to produce it?
As I said, the research started early in 1987, so you can understand about almost 20-25 years it took me to write this particular book, and it went into piecemeal. First, I tried to work on the classification of snake, because while I was studying the classical remedies like Lachesis and Naja and Crotalus, I found that the classification was absolutely incorrect. The sources were not proper. There were a lot of mistakes in the proving, especially in the newer snakes. And I had to join the forums at the international level. If you remember, there is a kingsnake.com, you know, where you get a lot of information on the snake. I became a member of various forums, and then I started discussing about our homeopathic snakes, and then I came to know the exact source, And in this particular book, I have done a huge correction regarding all those false nomenclature regarding the snake. And later on, I started introduce many new snakes into homeopathy, as you can see in my new book. And that's how it all began. And this was a big research work. And I had to take help of the world's famous herpetologist, Wolfgang Wooster, who now works in Bristol in United Kingdom. And he helped me a lot again to, you know, classify the snake in a proper family. And that was the research which I did.
Farouk, what is the, just before we actually get into discussing the snake remedies specifically, what is the general layout of the book? I mean, how do you organize the chapters? How, if somebody looks at it, what are they going to see, actually?
Okay. The chapters are being organized. First, I think so, I have written something on the anatomy of a snake, the basic anatomy, and then I immediately went into the taxonomy of the snake. This is one very important hurdle which I had to cross. It took me many years to change the taxonomy. Unfortunately, we in homeopathy have not come up to the level of trying to match the present taxonomy with our old literature. So I had to make a new classification. Then I went and studied mythology and symbolism of a snake, especially in relation to the dreams and dream symbolism. Then I went into the list of venomous snakes. Then I went into the group symptom of snake venoms. And then I have discussed more than about 28 snakes in homeopathic materia medica. So this is the short format of the book.
And Farouk, you mentioned group symptoms. I'm curious, have you found that there are certain symptoms which are essentially specific to the snake remedies that you have actually confirmed in your practice, that if you see them in a case, you say, ah, this might be a snake remedy?
Yes. I have about more than 30 points listed in my book from... And this particular list comes from my 32 years of homeopathic practice. And some of them I would like to discuss right now in this conference. The first is that I would like to discuss is the competitiveness and the love for power. This is one thing which I have repeatedly confirmed in my practice. The snake people are extremely ambitious. And they love for power, and they are quite competitive in their life. The second thing which I have tried to confirm is the theme of attack and defense, you know. And many times you will see that these people, when they talk to you in your clinic, they will come with statements like, I want to kill him, these people are my enemies, I cannot defend myself. And all these things what the patients say in your practice can either be reflected in the form of dreams, or it can be directly reflected in the form of their mental symptoms. Another thing which I have confirmed is that the snake remedy patients are quite passionate and are workaholic. Don't mind if I also say they are quite alcoholic. And... they have got a lot of issues with their ego, and they are quite haughty and egoistic individual. There may be a history of drug abuse and alcohol in snake people. Usually the organ of speech is affected at the level of a physical body, and they may be having a lot of speech trouble. Either it can be in the central nervous system, or it could be at the level of the tongue. Another important thing is the forsaken feeling. As you know, that snakes, after giving birth to the newborns, they don't usually take good care of them. Or sometimes they even eat away their newborn. So the forsaken feeling is quite primitive in the snake remedies. And they have a lot of issues with their parents, with their family, and with their friends. If you look under the rubric aversion to family members, you will see a snake remedy. If you look into the rubric delusion friendless he is, you will see a snake remedy. Or if you look under the rubric estranged, you will also see a snake remedy. most of the stake people usually have a spiritual or a religious path, you know, and they have quite a guilt complex associated with this. And when you probe into the detail of their life, you may see that sometimes they are quite curious about their religion, sometimes they have a strong anxiety about their salvation, or sometimes they are too occupied with the religion. So this is also an important thing. And the last which I would like to describe to you is their strong affinity towards the cardiovascular system. Snake remedies belong to a chunk of, you know, cardiovascular diseases. You start from simple anemia to hemorrhage to arthritis to myocardial infarction to varicose vein to hypertrophy of the heart. You will always find a snake remedy. So my friend, these are some of the group symptoms which I will describe. Of course, the list is very long, and you will really enjoy if you read this particular chapter of a clinical confirmation of the themes of a snake remedy.
Very interesting. You know, I've heard a lot of different practitioners say that, you know, to prescribe a snake remedy, there are really certain symptoms that you need to see. For example, they'll oftentimes say, you know, that the patient will need to dream of snakes, or that there has to be jealousy in the case, or that, you know, all snake remedies, if they're indicated, the patient has a heightened sexual desire or a vicious nature, or loquacity being a very common symptom. So you say that these are actually things that are absolutely required if the patient's going to be given a snake remedy. I'm curious, what is your opinion about this?
Yeah. In the beginning of the book, I have mentioned about the dreams and symbolism of snake remedies. But the dreams that I have repeatedly confirmed in my practice are the dreams of accidents, you know. This is one thing which I have confirmed repeatedly in my practice. Another is the amorosity, you know, a lot of sexuality in the dreams. Another symbolism that I have seen is of animals. Different kind of animals come and they fight, or sometimes you can see animals having sex together, or sometimes you can see a fighting between the animals. And I have seen even dreams of being betrayed, of some dangers. Snake remedies have to do a lot with the death. And as you know, that the death can also be interpreted as an end of a relationship. So this is completely reflected about their emotional life in the form of dreams, where you see dreams of death. You can also see, there's a very interesting dream that you will see as dreams of being exploited. Now, on various occasions, I have seen this about a dream of being exploited. And in a clinical setup, this has really helped me to come down to a snake remedy. And the most important remedy is, as you know, this African Mamba in this rubric, you know, dreams of being exploited. And then you will see dreams of falling from a height, falling from a ladder, falling into a pit, falling into an abyss. That you will see repeatedly when you are thinking of an elapsed patient. Of being forsaken in a huge mountain. This is one very important dream that I have seen and confirmed repeatedly, where a person is on the mountain, he is all alone, and there is nobody around him. This you will see in the remedy Crotalus cascabellum. And this has also helped me to treat different disorders, from skin disease to cardiovascular disorder. And there is a state of helplessness. And in this state of helplessness, you will see a dream helping people unable to help others. Helping people unable to help others. Now here, you will see the most important remedy will be Crotalus cascabellum. How nicely you will see that this state of helplessness comes out. Among all the animals that you see in snake remedies, the one which are very strongly represented is a horse. If you look under the rubric dreams horse drowning and dream horse, you will see a lot of snake remedies. Of course, again, this will be Crotalus cascabellum. Now, your horse is very symbolically represented for their power, for its restlessness, for its ambition, and this is exactly reflected over here in the dream. And then, dreams of being pursued, this is very important, the guilt complex that you will see very strongly over here in snake remedies. So dreams of being pursued, you can have a lot in snake remedies. And then issues with the parents, issues with the family comes here. Either you may have quarrel with the father, quarrel with the mother, that you will see a lot in snake remedies. And some sort of violence, that is murder and stabbing and theft and all those things come is reflected very nicely under the dreams of snake remedies. This is what Kima has to say.
That's fantastic, Farooq. That's very interesting information. And I'm sure it'll be very helpful for people who are really investigating the dreams of their patients. The other part that I was curious about was the jealousy and the loquacity. Do you see this always in snake remedies, or do you only see it like, you know, for example, do you only see it in Lachesis and Crotalus auritus, but do you also see it in nausea as well, or do you not see it in all the snake remedies or only some of them?
Yeah, in fact, the classical snake symptoms like jealousy and suspiciousness and these are not so frequently seen in your practice, because then you can miss out on snake remedy if you are only going to see on those angles. I can show you many remedies in, from the snake kingdom where this has not been at all a very important issue. Like, as, for example, Sanchiris. In Sanchiris, you will hardly find this. In the case of Bungerus, you will hardly find this. In the case of Botrops, you will hardly find all these things. So I think so. This is not a very important criteria. This can be a simple criteria to think of drugs like Lachesis, but not with most of the snake remedies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what I thought also. Now, you mentioned Bungerus fasciatus. I know that you've done a proving of that remedy, Farooq. Could you describe a little bit the history behind the proving and some of perhaps the unique symptoms of the remedy? Because I'm sure that a lot of the people listening to this call are probably not that familiar with this particular snake venom.
Okay, Bungerus, as you know, comes from India. It's an Indian snake. And I had a case of a man who was a very complicated case neurologically. And he was suffering from some degeneration of a cranial nerve, 9th and 10th, where he was unable to swallow and chew. And the problem became so severe that to eat a breakfast, he will take 2 hours. And to finish his lunch, he will take 4 or 5 hours because he cannot chew. And that was his most important problem. And then he cannot even swallow what he chews. And so he has to vomit everything. And then he goes from pillar to post. He consults a lot of doctors, but nobody is able to help him. And ultimately, the doctors declare him as a psychologically ill patient. And ultimately, he comes to homeopathy. I treat him with various remedies, but I'm a big failure. And my last prescription was Lachesis. Subsequently, I tried to repertorize this case, and I repeatedly found out that he has a very strong symptom of a snake remedy. But giving Lachesis does not show much result. But I was very convinced that he needs a snake remedy. At that time, I was trying to explore the proving of a Bungerus. Now, one thing which was very common to Bungerus and which was very common to this patient was a feeling of embarrassment and of being very self-conscious. Bungerus is one remedy which is extremely self-conscious, and there are a lot of issues of embarrassment. If you study the dreams of Bungerus, you will come to know. Basing my interpretation on this particular dream and the theme of Bungerus, I gave him Bungerus 30, just 1 or 2 doses. And the patient miraculously improved. The symptoms which he was suffering from last many, many years just disappeared overnight. That was the best part. And within 48 hours, this man is able to eat like any other person, you know, sitting in front of us. And this case improved beautifully. Ever since then, I have started using Bungerus on certain themes. The first, as I explained to you, is embarrassment, but the most important is the loss of impulse control. A person is not able to control his impulses. Now, this impulse could be an aggression. It could be an anger. It could be a anger arising from feeling of injustice and he cannot control the whole situation. Or it could be that he is being exposed and unprotected. In Bangeras, I also could see many cases where there is a situation of a victim of a social violence, like a gang rape or like a marital abuse or a torture by in-laws, mother-in-law, father-in-law. This type of situation I see quite a lot in Bangeras. And having a strong guilt after the anger and poor control over the animal qualities like anger, aggression, irritability, with morbid impulses to fight. This is a very core symptoms of the remedy Bangeras. If you look at the generals, patient just cannot remain hungry. There is a strong migraine after any emotional conflict. This is a symptom. Severe constipation is another symptom. And coldness of the palms, this is another confirming concomitant which I have seen in many cases of Bangeras.
Very interesting. Farooq, are you still there?
Yes.
Farooq, are there some disease conditions in particular that you've seen Bangeras associated with? Does it have a strong hemorrhagic diathesis? And does it also affect the heart strongly as well, like the other snake remedies?
Yeah. See, I have used Bangeras a lot in cases of multiple sclerosis in neurological conditions. I have used it in cases of ataxia. I have used it in cases of cerebrovascular accidents. And I have used it in cases of hypertension and high cholesterol. These are the areas where I have used Bangeras very successfully.
And Farooq, the proving is in your book, is that correct?
Yes, the proving is in the book, and proving is also in the Encyclopedia Homeopathica. And the students can, if they have the program, they can see the proving also.
Okay, great. Farooq, I'm curious, have you had the opportunity to prescribe Bothra's Atrox? And if so, do you have any cases that you could share with us?
Okay. I think so. I will start with the remedy Bothra's Atrox. As you know that there's a big mistake in the homeopathic literature regarding the remedy Bothra's. In normal common materia medica, we have got only one Bothra's, and that is Bothra's lanceolatus.
Yes.
And this snake is usually found in the island of Martinique. An island of Martinique is a French colony. But if you go and visit that particular colony, you will see that they call the word lanceolatus to all the snake which has a flat head. So it's very difficult to say which Bothra's actually was proved initially as a Bothra's lanceolatus. So subsequently, two more Bothra's are mentioned in homeopathic literature, Bothra's Atrox and Bothra's Alternatus. Again, there is a big mistake in the proving of this remedy because the sources are not very clear. And so, when over a period of years, I could clear my difficulty by going to the forums and checking exactly where this particular Bothra's comes from, I could procure the venom of this remedy Bothra's Atrox. And first I will describe the case and then I will evolve the whole materia medica from that particular case. Now this is a little longer case, but a very interesting case of a 59 years old man, and he was suffering from a high cholesterol, and this cholesterol was familial, and his diet was never rich in fatty foods at all, but his the lipoprotein levels and his triglycerides and the total cholesterol was sky high. And that's the reason why he suffered from a lot of cardiac problem. He had a hypertension. He had a poor pumping of his heart. His heart was enlarged. And he was on a cocktail of antihypertensive remedies and cocktail of cholesterol-lowering agents and dispirins and aspirins and vitamins and whatnot. And all this resulted into occlusion of his the carotid artery. And whenever this occlusion of the carotid artery will take place, he will have problems with his consciousness. He will have problem with his vision. And this attacks used to come repeatedly, and with every attack they used to hospitalize him. And the doctor warned him that subsequent attacks can be fatal and then he can die also one fine day. So he was very much afraid, and he thought that he should find out some other alternatives. And that's how he comes to me with a carotid artery occlusion. And he had already developed some speech disorder by then. And he had some sexual weakness also. And he had a cardiac weakness, you know. And there was a lot of venous stasis on his lower extremities when I examined him. If you look at the patient as a person, when he was only 10 years old, his father died. And his mother brought him up single-handedly. There was a lot of financial problem. And he had to struggle a lot. So mother really had a strong responsibility. And so to earn money, mother sends this boy to a boarding school. And this is the time when he is extremely forsaken. And he lives in a boarding school for 14 years of his life. And mother is working in the city and trying to collect some funds to pay his fees. He graduates and then he becomes a salesman in a multinational company. And he goes and he steps up the ladder in life. He's ambitious. He's a self-made man. He marries at the age of 35 with a woman he loved much. But the only problem was that he was a very close person. He never expressed his feelings to anybody. His childhood forsaken feeling, the grief of the death of the father at a very young age. He could not enjoy much in his childhood. All this was a pent-up feeling in his heart, which he never even opened up to his wife, to whom he was loving so much. I tried various remedies with this particular history, but unfortunately, I was unsuccessful in the first few months of the treatment. But the following symptoms were very strong in his history: the forsaken feeling, the single parent syndrome. I feel the radar is the only repertory at present in homeopathy which will give you this rubric of single parent syndrome. His reservedness, not showing his true emotions, a sort of a mask, occlusion of an internal carotid artery, high cholesterol, his sexual weakness, and his speech which was slow. This was the indication on which I prescribed Bottrop's lanceolators to begin with. When I gave him Bottrop's lanceolators, I started with 200 and then jump up to 1 mm. The result was very interesting. He started feeling much better. But as he felt better in his symptoms, his fear of heart disease unfortunately increased. Now this is very unique. Huh? His symptoms are getting better, but his fear is becoming stronger and stronger. Now, if you look at the original proving of Bottrop's atrox, which is being described by Dr. Robert, he mentions that the fear of heart disease is so strong in Bottrop's atrox, it is as strong as arsenic or as strong as gelsemium. Keeping this particular phenomena of heart fear and the other symptoms of Bottrop's in general, instead of giving lanceolators, I immediately changed to Bottrop's atrox 30. And giving Bottrop's, within next 9 months, I could put him off antihypertensive and anti-cholesterol reducing drugs and keep him purely on homeopathy. It's about 4.5 years that he's under my care, and there's not a single attack of occlusion of his carotid artery. His speech has improved by more than 80% to 90%. He still works from his house, because now you know he is about 65 to 66 years old. He is still very active and he has not developed any complications so far. So this was a big victory and my first case of Bottrop's atrox. And then later on, subsequently, I have used this remedy very successfully in various cardiovascular disorders and neurological disorders, and the guiding symptom was severe fear of a valvular heart disease or an organic heart disease, extreme degree of anxiety with a lot of frightful experiences, and aggravation of lot of symptoms during and after sleep, strong traumatic childhood where you get a single parent syndrome is very important aspect in the history of bortrops, etrops, and the wounds to become septic and the wound to become gangrenous is another very important thing, and the history of epistaxis. Lord, I have used bortrops a lot in childhood epistaxis, you know, epistaxis especially in the morning when you wake up. This is another keynote symptom I have seen. An excessive salivation like a mercury. And the tongue is coated with a lot of fur, you know, furry tongue. What you see in a Cardus marianus or Nux vomica, thick coating which looks like a fur. And it has got a cardiac cough due to enlargement of the heart, you know. You get a type of a cough, you know, which is because of the involvement of a phrenic nerve. And there are many remedies for cardiac cough like Edonis or Digitalis or Loracerus or Tabacum, but this is also one of the, it's a constant short hacking cough, and this fear of cardiac illness wakes the patient up from the sleep, you know, he wakes up from the sleep with a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear and a lot of fright, and then he starts perspiring. So this is in short the picture of the remedy Bortrops Etrox.
That's fantastic, Farouk, and I was not familiar with that remedy at all, and I really appreciate you sharing all that clinical information. It's really great. You know, since we're talking about some of the more obscure remedies, some of the more obscure snake remedies, because, you know, you can read about Lachesis and nausea and Crotalus auritus fairly easily, I'm curious, do you also have a clinical understanding and picture of Bitis areata?
Yeah. Bitis, huh? And Bitis irritans is a, you know, is a puff adder, you know, and the most important theme that I could conclude when I proved the whole remedy was masking of the emotions, and the masking of the emotion is presented clinically with violence. So on one hand, the person does not express his emotions. The true emotions is genuine feelings. But what he expresses is the violence, which you will see a lot like a carcinogen remedy. Or the person tries to suppress his anger and hide his emotion, as you see in Staphysagria or Causticum. So what you will see is a man who works from morning to night. He is very active, he is very busy, he is very workaholic, but he is far away from his emotion. And to hide his emotion or not to allow the emotion to come up on the surface, he drowns himself into the work, he drowns himself into his profession, and he doesn't want to look at his emotion. So this is one very important aspect of Bitis that I could see. Another thing is, the cardiac anxiety is very strong in Bitis irritans also, like fear of getting heart attack. This is exactly what you see in Apis, exactly what you see in Lilium tig, or you see in Aurum cases, you know. And this aggression resembles like an aggression of a Chamomilla or Nux vomica superficially. And this becomes worse during menses if it's a female patient. They are very self-centered people and a very greedy individual, and they are quite materialistic in life. And at the level of generals, what I could confirm repeatedly is they have got a strong desire for cheese that aggravates. I think so this is the only snake remedy which has got a desire for cheese and it aggravates. If you look at the cardiac symptoms of this particular remedy, then you will see a lot of heaviness on the left side of the heart, and I have treated many cases of cardiac arrhythmias and ischemic heart disease with the changes in the cardiogram, and where the patient feels much better after giving Bitis, and the stool is usually hard but there's a noisy flatulence like platina, you know, the way platina patient has a noisy flatulence. There's a lot of flatus that comes with the stool. The abdomen is quite flatulent, like lycopodium. There's a lot of fullness of the abdomen. And some cases of chronic pharyngitis were treated with this remedy, Bitis Erythrans, where you get pain in the throat on empty swallowing like kalika, and they have a choking sensation with a sensation of lump in the throat. So this is something to talk about Bitis.
Fantastic, Farouk. Farouk, I know a lot of times, you know, people will give snake remedies in their practice for adults, you know, people with hemorrhages, neurological problems, cardiovascular disease. But my sense is that, in general, people don't prescribe the snake remedies as frequently for children. And I'm curious, do you have a lot of experience giving snake remedies to children? And do you have a case maybe you could share with us?
Kim, I've got many cases of newborn children where I've used a lot of snake remedies. I distinctly remember when I was working in a hospital, it was a case of a newborn child, you know. And this particular child developed a fever. And then a lot of antibiotic was pushed into the body of the child. I think so the child was about 20 to 25 days old. And giving antibiotics did not improve the condition of the child. Rather, the child deteriorated and there was a hemorrhage, you know, from the nose, hemorrhage from the eyes, and the eyes become extremely red. Gradually, the cyanosis developed. Mouth was swollen, and the child went into what is known as a stuporous condition. And when the blood chemistry was performed, the total white cell count was 19,000. And history that was given to me by the nurse was that the child was delivered by a forceps, and on the seventh day the child refused to take the milk, and it was a severe case of septicemia. And since I had proved the remedy Taipan by that time, you know, Taipan, as you know, is one of the world's most poisonous snake, and we have this remedy in homeopathy known as Oxyuranus. Oxyuranus is Taipan, the Australian snake. And I gave Taipan in 30 potency. And slowly the septicemia became much, much better. Now, the clinical observation in the case of Taipan is septicemia, cyanosis, and hemorrhage. When you get combination of these three together, I think so one of the remedies that you should think about is Taipan, or what is known as Oxyuranus.
Can you repeat three again, Farouk, because you cut out and I want to make sure everybody hears what you said.
Yeah. If you get a combination of cyanosis, hemorrhage, and septicemia, this triad of symptoms are a very important clinical indication of Taipan. And Taipan is commonly known as Oxyuranus in homeopathy. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. That's great, Farouk.
Okay.
Can you tell us anything more about that remedy? Because I'm sure I'm personally not that familiar with it, and I know you did a proving of it. Is there anything you could tell us else about the remedy? Have you used it a lot in your practice?
Yeah, Taipan I have used a lot in my practice. In fact, there is a very nice theme of Taipan which I would like to describe to you. The most important theme of Taipan is worthlessness. The most important theme that I could see in the proving is that the life is a burden, and I'm a burden for a family, or I'm a burden for my friend, or I'm a burden for my wife, or I'm a burden in a group, you know. Then comes that nobody needs me, and I am of no use to anybody. And slowly and slowly the desire for company and desire for the society is suppressed as a result of worthlessness and depression. Emotionally, they are extremely sensitive people. So slightest feeling of criticism produces a sense of worthlessness. There's a lot of oscillation of moods, you know, a lot of mood changes in the person. And so at some stage they can be very violent, on another stage they can be completely low and depressed and sad and dull. And many times they have this type of loathing that others are living in misery because of them. And when this frustration and worthlessness reaches a peak, they tend to become quite suicidal. So this is one thing which is very important I have confirmed, you know. This also you can see in Aurum cases, but you can also see in cases of Taipan. And the level of the generals, they have a strong desire for chocolates and ice creams. What you see in CPR, the strong desire of chocolate. And they are extremely weak individual. Prostration comes very soon. They want to lie down all the time. Tendency to dropsy is very important that I have seen in these cases. Early hypertension in their life is another thing which I have seen in these cases, patients. And in the throat, they have got a constant disposition to swallow. Many throat symptoms came out in the proving. Dryness with thirst, disposition to hawk. And at the level of the chest, there was a pain on the left side, worse coughing, and palpitation due to anxiety, and palpitation in the morning. Nostalgic dreams and dripping, meeting old friends and meeting old acquaintances was the important dream that came out repeatedly. And they're extremely chilly patient. And so this is in short about the remedy Taipan that I have described in my book.
Fantastic, Farouk. Farouk, what about Echis carinatus? I know that's viper, and also we've got viper varus, which is a better known remedy, vipera varus,
yeah,
which is also a viper. And how would you differentiate, since they're both vipers, I would assume they have some similarities.
Yeah.
How would you differentiate those? And also, where can I get information about Echis carinatus? Because there doesn't seem to be much in the literature about it.
Echis carinatus, as you know, is a desert viper, and it is what is known as a saw-scaled viper. It's a very small snake, and it usually tries to camouflage in the sand of the desert. And I have proved this remedy. The book is available. It is even there in the Encyclopedia Homeopathica. And while proving Echis, I came to certain themes. The first and the most important theme was depression characterized by poor concentration, confusion of mind, causeless weeping, and weeping out of fear. So this was a very important aspect. I think it is one of the most depressive snake remedy that I know about. Then there is a high degree of creativity even with depression. So when, even though they are depressed, the creativity is very strong. So you can imagine when they are quite normal, how high their creativity could be. And then they have got a strong fear of impending incurable diseases. And this invites a lot of anxiety in them to the extent that they can become a hypochondriac also. Then I saw a lot of visual problems in the proving of Echis carinatus, which when applied to a clinical practice, I have treated cases like glaucoma, iritis, ophthalmic migraine with the help of this saw scale viper. It has got severe symptoms of sinusitis, postnasal catarrh, and nasal obstruction, making this remedy one of the useful remedy for nasal polyps and sinusitis. And lot of symptoms related to the irritable bowel syndromes are found. when I proved this particular remedy on the doctors, there's a very strong vertigo when closing the eyes and turning in the bed, especially on the right side. And they have a strong desire for ice cold water and sugar and sweets. So this aspect is quite different when you study the European viper, that is what is known as the Vipera birus, because the symptomatology of Vipera birus is quite different. And if you start with the mind, you will see a lot of anguish in Vipera birus. Vipera patients are quite anguished, despair, and discouraged. And what is the reason of this? The main reason of despair, anguish, and discouragement is the chronic problems. Pain, chronic problem of neuralgias, or chronic illnesses, which drags over a period of years and years and years with a lot of physical suffering. So this is one very important aspect. When you see a lot of physical suffering in the life of person, and the life has been a very strong burden, and there is a deep anguish regarding this, and the patient desires that, think of a remedy, Vipera birus. And another very important thing which is not there in Equis and which is there very strongly in Vipera is the lingering guilt about his past sins. So there's a lot of delusions of being pursued and being poisoned. And this guilt comes out very strongly in Vipera. There can be even be a premonition of death. And lot of aggression due to sexual inhibitions. So this is also a very important thing that I have seen. In fact, there were the cases of pneumonia and typhoid and septicemia, which I have treated with the help of Vipera birus. The most important thing that I could see was great agitation, irrational talking, speech mumbling, answers question in a very incoherent manner, and delirium alternating with stupor. When there is a stupor, there is no delirium. When there is delirium, there is no stupor. And strong aggravation during the menopausal time, like lachesis, very, very chilly patient, despair with pain, intolerance of clothing. This is a very common symptom with snake remedy, and a marked affinity for jaws. This is very important, especially the pain near the jaws. Another remedy you know for strong affinity for jaw is causticum and conium. And the strong periodicity. Most of the problems in Vipera birus recurs annually. And so this way, Kim, I feel both these remedies are quite different, but they belong to the same family, Vipera.
Interesting, Farouk. So, Farouk, I'm going to open it up and let some other people ask some questions. I'd love to spend the whole day with you asking you about these small snake remedies. It's really fascinating. But before I do that, I just want to spell some of the snake remedies that you've been talking about, because they may not be familiar to people on the call. So, first of all, you mentioned Bungaris, and that's spelled as B as in boy, U, N as in Nancy, G, A, R, U, S. That was Bungaris. You also talked about Bothrops Atrox, which is B as in boy, O-T-H-R-O-P-S, and then the last part is Atrox, A-T-R-O-X. We also talked about Bitis arietens, which is B as in boy, I-T as in Tom, I-S, and then A-R-I-E-T-A-N-S. We also discussed Equis carinatus, which is E, C as in cat, H, I-S, and then carinatus is C-A-R-I-N-A-T-U-S. That's one of the vipers. And you contrasted that one with Vipera baris, which is V-I-P-E-R-A. And then the latter part is B as in boy, E-R-U-S. And then also you talked about Taipan, which is T as in Tom, A-I, P as in Paul, A, N as in Nancy. This call will be posted up on our website probably in the next week to 10 days. So I know it's a lot of information. People can come back and revisit the call. There's a lot of valuable information. As you can tell, Farouk really knows the snake remedies inside and out, not just Lachesis and Cortalis horridus and nausea and ELAPS and some of the more common snake remedies. He also knows these more obscure snake remedies, which are sometimes really indicated in practice. And if you're not familiar with them, you may absolutely miss these cases, as he has clearly demonstrated during this call. So I wanted to mention that his book is now available. It's the most comprehensive and thorough book on the snake remedies that I believe we have right now. It normally retails for $75. We do have a special going on where you can get it for $59. And if you want to get that book, you can call the toll-free number, which is 866-599-5950. I'll repeat that again. It's 866-599-5950. That's the toll-free number. Again, the book retails for $75, but we do have a special going on for $59. Farouk, I want to thank you. That was an amazing discussion on the snake remedies. I'm going to go ahead and open it up to let some other people ask questions as well. Okay, fantastic. Okay, great. So does anybody on the call have a question for Dr. Master about the snake remedies or his book or anything in general? He's a encyclopedia of homeopathic knowledge. So if you have anything you'd like to ask, please go ahead and do that.
I would just like to thank Dr. Masters very, very much. I want to look over the remedy. I'm going to inform other colleagues about this call and have them, phone up to listen to it. And I will definitely buy the book. I'd like to know if there's any way one can contact Dr. Masters if one should have confusion about this with a case.
I think Kim can supply all the information.
Okay.
Farouk, if somebody wants to go, because I recommend to people all the time that they go and participate in Farouk's clinics in Mumbai, which are an incredible learning experience for homeopathy. Everyone I've sent there has just raved about it. They said it's really advanced their understanding and ability to practice homeopathy. So Farouk, could you just give the your website URL so that they have that information?
Yeah, it is www.drfarukmaster.com.
And so I'll repeat that again. It's www. And then Farouk is spelled F-A-R-O-K-H, K as in kangaroo, H, and then master, master.com. If you go there, you'll find all kinds of information about Dr. Master, his clinic, and the work that he's doing for homeopathy. We still have a couple of minutes here, so does anybody else have a question they'd like to ask?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Hi, Farouk. This is Barbie Marnie. How are you?
Hi, Gabby.
Hi. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about ELAPS and some things that you've seen in the ELAPS cases.
Oh, you want to know something about ELAPS, huh? Okay. What you would like to know about ELAPS?
Maybe some things about their mental, emotional symptoms.
Okay. Let me explain to you. What I would suggest you is that I will give you a very small case, and maybe from that case you can know quite a lot about this remedy ELAPS. Okay?
Hey, thank you.
Okay. Now, see, I had a case of a young boy who presented to me with a deafness and a very strong, offensive odor discharge from the ear. And this particular problem was over a period of many, many years. And he took many ear drops, he took many antibiotics, but there was no response. And when I started talking to him regarding his mental symptoms, he presented to me with a picture which resembled stramonium. Strong fear of dark, strong fear of remaining alone, strong fear of ghost. That came up quite a lot during the issue. So initially I thought that it could be a case of stremonium. And stremonium patients do resemble ELAPS, and ELAPS patients do resemble stremonium. You should remember that. Then I found out that he was an architect in the architect school, and he was making some beautiful drawings and beautiful diagrams. And even as a child, he could do some good artwork. So he was extremely creative. But he was very shy. He will not show his creativity to many people. But he was a little shy and reserved, like Netram Kab or a Kali Kab person. So this shyness, creativity, and strong fears, along with that, there was a chronic discharge coming from the ear, not responding to antibiotics, and the discharge was highly offensive. On this totality, I prescribed the remedy ELAPS to the person in 30th potency. And over a period of months, I could completely stop the discharge. The medical diagnosis was chronic mastoiditis, you know. And the person felt much, much better. So this is one aspect of the prescribing totality of Crotalus. They are extremely chilly patients, but strong aggravation from damp weather. Huh? Everything is worse when there is damp and when it rains, like tuberculinum. Tuberculinum is another remedy which is worse when it rains, or like rhododendron, worse when there is a lot of dampness, you know. And then you have got a lot of fears in this particular remedy. And the fear is very strong, where the person shouts and shrieks with the fear, very expressive sort of a fear. And they are very, very shy people. So this is one thing which you should remember. And there's a lot of septic adynamic state. The septicemia is not very strong, but it's a very slow, gradual, and an adynamic situation. It's not a septicemia like Crotalus horridus. You start suffering from a fever, and in 5 days, if you don't treat it properly, the person dies. No. ELAPS has got usually a lingering complaint, slow, gradual. So this is, in short, I can explain to you about ELAPS.
Oh, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Farouk. So we're out of time. I just wanted to say I have been studying Farouk's book now for the last... I actually got a pre-version copy of it a while back, a couple months ago, and I've been studying it for the last few months, and it is just a wealth of incredibly useful information based on his clinical practice. One thing about Dr. Master is that he doesn't speculate at all. The information that's written in this book is based on his own clinical experience or the experience of practitioners who work underneath him, and therefore you can rely on it 100%. And that's something that is invaluable in homeopathy today. So, Farouk, I want to thank you again. If everybody can give Farouk, Dr. Master, a big thank you for taking me. It's late at night in Mumbai right now. So let's say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.